From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. The British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, says rising Islamist militancy has turned Yemen into an incubator for terrorism. Brown is organizing an international meeting in London in late January to discuss the issue. The move follows the alleged attempt to blow up an airline on Christmas Day by a man thought to have been trained in Yemen by al-Qaeda. The BBC's Norman Smith has more.
Mr. Brown warned that there was a risk that al-Qaeda, once driven out of Afghanistan and the mountains of Pakistan, would simply regroup in Yemen. The proposed conference, therefore, which will coincide with the London conference on Afghanistan later this month, will examine ways of providing the Yemeni government with more equipment and counter-terrorism training. At the same time, Mr. Brown has ordered an urgent review into airport security and the possible use of body scanners, which will report within the next few days.
The BBC's Norman Smith. Afghanistan's parliament today rejected most of the 24 nominees that President Hamid Karzai wanted to put in his cabinet. NPR's Saraya Sarhadi Nelson says the vote was remarkable.
We're talking about 17 of the candidates being rejected and only 7 being approved. Some of the ones that were rejected that are notable or worth mentioning are Ismail Khan, for example, who is the Minister of Energy here, the Minister, I should say, of Electricity. And he is also a former warlord who is not very well liked at all. I mean, he's accused by human rights groups of war crimes. So there are not that many Afghan lawmakers who are happy with him to begin with. But they also rejected people like the lone female nominee, who was for the Women's Affairs Ministry, and they rejected her as well. And this, I think, was a signal to President Karzai that the parliament is very unhappy with him. So what's going to happen at this stage is that President Karzai has said he will submit more names for nomination.
NPR's Saraya Sarhadi Nelson reporting from Kabul. Israeli warplanes bombed 2 smuggling tunnels in the Gaza Strip overnight. There were no immediate reports of casualties. The bombing was said to be in response to Palestinian rocket fire into southern Israel. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
Gaza residents said the explosions from the airstrikes could clearly be heard in southern Gaza. The Israeli military has long sought to quell the smuggling of weapons and other goods via the tunnels that snake beneath the Gaza border with Egypt. Since Israel began its blockade of Gaza more than 2 years ago, Gaza residents have been far more reliant on the tunnels for everything from auto parts to livestock. Egyptian smugglers say weapons trafficking also takes place. The latest airstrikes are believed to be in response to Palestinian rocket fire from Gaza into the southern Israeli town of Netivot. No serious injuries were reported as a result of the rocket fire, which was claimed by the left-wing Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Cairo.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Iran says it will start enriching uranium by itself if Western countries won't agree to its offer. Iran's foreign minister says the international community has until the end of January to accept its arrangement to help Iran get nuclear fuel, or Iran will do it alone. Iran came up with the offer after rejecting a United Nations plan to swap most of its enriched uranium for nuclear fuel. The deal would have limited Iran's ability to use enriched uranium to make a nuclear weapon. Deborah Howell, the pioneering newswoman who served as the sometimes controversial ombudsman for the Washington Post, has been killed. She died in a road accident in New Zealand. Minnesota Public Radio's Tim Nelson reports.
A native of San Antonio, Howell worked at papers in Texas and Minnesota. She was one of the first women to head a large daily newspaper in the U.S., the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Jackie Banaszynski was one of the reporters to win a Pulitzer Prize there under Howell.
I never knew a better newswoman. She always knew everything before anybody else. But she never forgot that part where people live in their hearts, and we as journalists have to be there too.
Howell became ombudsman for the Washington Post in 2005 and sparked controversy responding to the paper's coverage of the Jack Abramoff scandal. She left the paper in 2008 and was 68 when she died. For NPR News, I'm Tim Nelson in St. Paul.
A volcano erupted in eastern Congo today. Lava is headed for the Virunga National Park. There aren't many people who live there, and there are no reports of injuries. But Congolese park officials are worried. The park is home to some 40 endangered chimpanzees. Park rangers are now using helicopters to monitor the eruption. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.